Okay, Alexander, we have to do an update on what's going on with Assange. From what I understand, they're putting the wheels in motion to extradite him to the United States. Is that true? What's the word in the UK with
Well,
Assange?
we've now had this new hearing. This hearing, the actual trial, if you like, has started this week. And I'm afraid I agree with what you've just said in that this process that we're seeing in the Old Bailey, the Central Criminal Court in London, it's been transferred from Belmarsh to the Central Criminal Court in London. That this particular hearing, it seems to me, is clearly working towards a decision to extradite. But there's a number of things have happened which are really very extraordinary, and I just want to quickly recap on what they are, which is that firstly, as many people probably know, the United States, the US government, withdrew the original indictment that they brought against Assange, and they replaced it with a new indictment. Now, they said that the charges in the new indictment would be the same as the old indictment, and that it was all going to be recitals. In other words, that they were going to say a few more things about Assange, but that the essential case would be the same. Well, it now turns out that that isn't strictly true, and they've introduced certain other cases. I'm not going to go into too much detail about what those cases are, but they are simple. They're alleged to be very simple criminal cases involving things that are supposed to have happened in places like Iceland and the others. Now, the point I think is that it's been understood by the British authorities and by the US authorities that the previous indictment really wasn't working because it was so blatantly political. So they've now tried to add to that indictment by bringing in these minor criminal offences. The problem with doing that is that it is exposed, in my opinion, the problems with the original extradition case and with the original indictment, which was, as I said, a political case, and Britain is not supposed to extradite people with on political grounds. And it's put the judge in the case in a very difficult position. And I wasn't in the court. I'm basing it on what I've heard other people say, but I gather that she appeared extremely uncomfortable as a result of these new developments. And that may explain why she took certain decisions on the first day, which I'm going to say straightforwardly, I think were wrong, and I don't agree with. I mean, firstly, she restricted access to the event, to the court and to the live feeds of what was going on in the court even further. So agencies like Amnesty International, for example, are not able to follow the proceedings, which on the face of it is extraordinary. Only four journalists are allowed into the courtroom. And there were supposed to be, adjoining rooms where people would be able to follow the live feeds, and they can't actually do that now. Apparently, that's been restricted even further. She's put a cap of, I think it's 30 minutes, on the amount of time that defense witnesses are allowed to give oral evidence, which again, I find very, very bizarre, extraordinarily bizarre. And then she said essentially that, if the defense needed time to examine this new indictment, they should ask for more time through an adjournment. And then when the defense did ask for an adjournment, she refused it. So I mean, it's all very strange, but it does give the impression that she's both extremely uncomfortable, so she doesn't particularly want, too many people to know what's going on in the courtroom, and at the same time, is anxious to get this thing running and out of the way as quickly as possible because there is a sense that he's going wrong. Now, I don't think his judge is at all sympathetic to Assange. I think this is heading directly towards a decision to extradite. But it does suggest to me, all these legal manoeuvres suggest to me that the legal problems are mounting and that it is becoming more difficult to justify this extradition. So even though I expect this judge to decide that there will be an extradition to the US, I think the prospects in an appeal are now better than they were. So I think that this decision to bring a superseding, a new indictment, which is the third indictment, by the way, in the case that the US has produced, I think it may have been a mistake. I think it may have actually, all it may have done is undermine the strength of the case, such as it was, that the US was already bringing, and weaken the whole process even further. So we'll see what happens. It's all very interesting and very exciting. I gather very tense mood in the courtroom. One thing that was better is that Assange himself looked a bit better. He was more interactive. And this terrible situation where he was in essentially a glass box at the previous courtroom, that apparently is no longer the case. So he's now in a dock where there's a sort of screen, but he's got there's no sort of ceiling on top of it, so it's not a box anymore, and he's in a much stronger position to interact with his lawyers than he was. So I mean, it's all very interesting, everything to play for. I don't think this judge is going to rule in Assange's favor. I mean, she's hostile to him, that's my assessment, but I think the prospects of on an appeal have increased. That's my view anyway.
But what does that mean for an appeal? I mean, does it go to like a Supreme Court type of judgment? Or, because if you say the judge is going to say extradite Assange, the lawyers what? They appeal and then it goes to a higher court, or what's the next
step? The sequence is as follows. A judge decides to extradite. Appeal goes to the High Court. And then from the High Court, if the High Court goes against Assange, she has the right to apply for permission to appeal to the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom. So that's the sequence. First, this judge, who is a district judge in the Westminster Magistrates Court, that's actually quite a low position in the judicial hierarchy. Then it goes to the High Court, which is a very, very important court. In fact, it's the leading court of trial in Britain, and the High Court judges are, celebrated jurists and tremendously learned people, and very, very, very top quality judges.
Are they politically compromised?
Well, some of them have their political views, but I can say, because I used to work in the Royal Courts of Justice, that some of them are not. So I mean, it's a mixed bag, as it always is, and. Can I just also say, and I've said this in other places, the best type of judge in the High Court for this case is a deeply conservative person who is imbued with the law, takes the law extremely seriously, has no real political axes to grind, somebody who is, really cares about the law and thinks about the law and has an almost like priest-like attitude, reverence for the law. Those sort of judges most definitely do exist in the High Court, and they would be the ideal judges for a case like this. So we'll see. If it fails in the High Court, the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom has some of the greatest jurists in Britain. But I will also say it's a much, in my opinion, a more political court, actually, than the High Court is. I mean, it was the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom that made that extraordinary judgment last year. If you remember that prorogation of Parliament was unlawful, which I thought was a completely wrong decision. And, there's lots of authorities that say it was completely wrong. And that, for me, was a blatantly political decision. But, the High Court is different. And I think that, I'm more optimistic about an appeal in the High Court. And I think the judge in the present proceedings. As I said, she seemed, from what I can gather, nervous and stressed at some points in the case and in the hearing. And that might explain why, because as I said, it's not going to plan.
Does the UK legal system have the guts to go against the US government?
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, not just the US government, but the UK government too. So, I mean, we'll see.
Are there cases that you can think of?
Yes.
Maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, but are there precedents where the court has said, you know what, UK government or US government or any government that's trying to extradite, you know, leave us alone?
Let me give you an example, which is actually brought up to me very recently, which is that there was a case some years ago of five Cuban intelligence officers who infiltrated Cuban exile groups in the United States, alleging that they were involved in terrorism. The US authorities found out about them. They fled to Britain. The British government wanted to extradite them to the United States. The case came up before the British judiciary on appeal, the High Court judiciary. Again, three staunchly conservative judges. I mean, no sense that these people were in any way, you know, sympathetic to Cuba or anything. But they looked at the law and they decided that these people should not be extradited to the United States. So they went against the United States on that kind of issue. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen again. I mean, you know, I'm not making any predictions about this. All I am saying is I don't have any optimistic predictions about the current case in the Old Bailey. But it seems to me that the likely appeal that's going to come in the High Court, the prospects for that have increased. I think the judge herself in the current case senses that. And I suspect that's probably why she was a bit stressed on the first day with some of the decisions that she's made.
All right. So it seems like we have quite a bit of road ahead of us.
We have at least a year of litigation. I mean, you know, I think this particular hearing that we're seeing is probably going to end around the end of the year or the beginning of next year. And then there'll be a decision from the judge, which will probably take about 2 or 3 weeks. But then the High Court appeal process will be prolonged. And if that fails and it goes to the Supreme Court, that will take even longer. So there's a long battle ahead. We're still only at the foothills.
All right. And Assange stays in prison.
He stays in prison. There's no bail. And that, I have to say, is for me a matter of very serious concern. He did apparently look a bit better, but which is a good sign.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. All right. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. Also, drop us a comment down below. We really enjoy to read your comments. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe. Start your donation. Really helps out this small but growing channel. Please go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise. I've got a UK Magic mug right here.
And so do I.
We've got shirts, hoodies, all kinds of good things. Do you have a patriotic legacy?
I certainly do, but I've got it over here. Just a second.
All right. And let's do a quick shout out to our friends at Patriotic Legacy. If you use the code Durant20 at checkout, when you go to the Patriotic Legacy website, there is a link underneath this video to that website. You will get 20% off. Use the code Durant20. When you make a purchase and you get that 20% off, you will automatically be entered into a contest to win the brand new Patriotic Beacon 3 flashlight. It's a purple color, the purple color 3. It's brand new. And with that that contest, you can also win a Durant Magic mug, like the UK mug, but it's a US Durant Magic mug.
It's this one. It is this one, in fact. And you can see what a wonderful magic mug that is, with the flag of the United States and, of course, the Patriotic Beacon made by our friends at the Patriotic Legacy. Wonderful product, one of those wonderful products that are made in the United States. It is made in the United States, but it ships internationally. Wherever you are, you can join this competition and they will ship to you. Or you can go directly to their shop and buy it and they will ship to you. And it is, Alex will explain at the end of the program how to do that. And the Patriot Beacon, Patriot Beacon 3, is the best flashlight in the world. It has an amazing, powerful beam, as you can see. You can dim it if you're with people around you or in an enclosed space. If you're walking down a dark road with oncoming traffic and you want to alert them that you're there, then you can have it flashing. If you want to do something else and, you know, alert people by sound to the fact that you are there, there's an alarm. If you get lost, there's a compass in the handle. It's solar powered, so it's always there for you, provided you keep it in the light during the day. It's got a port, so you can recharge your smartphone or your tablet or your laptop. It's got a magnet, so you can put it on the side on a metal thing. I've got one like that in my cellar, and it's very comfortable to put there, and you can get hold of it right away. You can use it as a hammer. You can see that it's a wonderful tool. Or you can, if you have to, extract someone, if there's an accident, you have to take someone out of a car, you can sort of use it to break the windscreen. There are special ways you tap the windscreen in the corners and it just comes down. And of course, if you need to cut somebody out of their seatbelt, there's a seatbelt cutter too. So you see all these wonderful things it does. Alex calls it the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. And you see why, because he's got all of these wonderful accessories and functions that you can use with it. But it's also a beautiful thing. It's solid, it's strong, it's rugged, it gives you enormous confidence when you handle it. It's a superb quality product made by our friends, Patriotic Legacy in the United States, Patriot Beacon 3. This one, this one is black, but the one they're offering now comes in purple. So you absolutely have to have it. And just to remind you again, it comes with this mug with the flag of the United States, a Duran Magic mug, the best mug in the world, and of course, the American flag. So we've got plenty of other mugs with lots of other country flags. They're all the best mugs anywhere. We've also got enamel mugs as well as porcelain mugs. This is one with the flag of England. And we've got shirts, new shirts, lots of new shirts coming with flags on them too. And we're also getting more embroidered shirts. And as Alex said, not just shirts, we've also got an amazing range of new hats, baseball hats, trucker's hats, embroidered hats. And we've got hoodies. And we've also got a wonderful gallery of ebooks. So you'll find them all in our shop. You'll find, as I said, Alex will tell you how to go to our shop, and he'll also remind you quickly how you can get yourself one of these. So over to Alex, who will tell you how to do these things.
Just go to the Patriotic Legacy website, put the code Duran20, you'll get 20% discount and get entered into the contest, and the duranshop.com. You will find both of those links to both of those sites underneath this video in the description box. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.